Mark chapter 9, Mark chapter 9, our key verse, Mark chapter 9, we're talking about seeing is believing, and that seems a little bit contrary to kind of the thought process that we usually have is that, wait a second, if you're seeing it, then that's not really faith. But what we're talking about here is spiritual eyes. We're not talking about physical sight. We're talking about spiritual eyes, because I believe that God is wanting to get across to us. And if you look there in Mark 9 and verse 23, Jesus said to the man, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes." And one of the ways that we've been looking at this verse a little bit, and I don't think it's doing it an injustice, is that when we understand the real nature of faith, is to see what others don't see. To see what others don't see. What are you talking about, Pastor? Well, just think about Abraham, just for a moment. His name was changed to Abram, to Abraham, father of many nations, yet he didn't even have a child.
That's right.
When you start to see things that nobody else sees, you start to see a building that nobody else sees. You see what I'm saying? You start to see chairs that are full that nobody else sees. What is that? Spiritual eyes. Spiritual eyes. So Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. And one of the things that has been kind of takeaways is that belief comes from seeing. We actually see things from a spiritual perspective. And that once we see those things, then we can say what we see. And then we can act on what we see. So, belief comes from seeing those spiritual things. Oh God, open our eyes. Do you remember what Jesus said to his disciples when they were probably... I envision it this way. We'll find out when we get to heaven, right? And we'll see the heavenly video of what actually happened. That's going to be so cool, right? It's not going to be a hologram. It's not going to be a 3D video. It's going to be real. We're going to be able to see it, right? I believe that. And you say, where's your scripture and verse? I don't know. I just know that God is going to somehow download all of that so that we will know what happened. But I believe Jesus is with his disciples. I believe they're in a grain field somewhere, right? Surrounded by grain. And he says, the fields are ripe unto harvest. And he showed them with a physical illustration. But he was trying to get them to see a spiritual truth. A spiritual truth. God, open our eyes. Let's just do that right now. Touch your eyes right now. Say, God, open my eyes. Help me to see spiritually everything you want me to see. In Jesus' name, amen. If you meant that, I believe God's going to start showing you things about your life, about your church, about your family, about how that all interacts. Amen. You're going to see things that you haven't seen before.
Right.
You see things that you haven't seen before. Because if you can see, all things are possible to him who sees. See, I don't think that's an injustice of doing that, especially when you look at the word believe. Believe is to actually see it. And as we said, the languages are... God has languages in they're designed in such a way that when we hear words spoken, we see pictures.
Yeah.
We see pictures. In our mind, we see pictures. Mm-hmm. And I've been saying that. You say, Pastor, this is a repeat. It is, because we're going to go a little bit further into this. You're going to see more. You're going to see more from what the Scripture is telling us. All right? So then, I want you just to kind of move over to 2 Corinthians chapter 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 7, because this is going to sound like I'm contradicting myself. But again, I want to bring it back to last week. I referenced the woman with the issue of blood, and I talked about Ephesians chapter 1 and verse 18. So we're going to go here, and here it says in verse 7, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." We're confident, yes, well pleased, rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. He's talking about death being swallowed up. He's talking about this earthly tent. But he's saying, we see something that is not in this earth. Do you understand? That's what walking by faith is about. It's seeing what others don't see. It's believing. It's believing when it doesn't always make sense up here. It's believing when it doesn't always make sense. So as we continue on, I want to reference back to John chapter 20. John chapter 20. So, "For we walk by faith, not by sight." In other words, we don't walk by our feelings. We don't walk by our emotions. We don't walk by what our body is telling us. Our flesh. Then what God says. Now, I don't say that in a condemning way. I'm saying that that's what happens. If you, and remember I said this last week, garbage in, garbage out. If you just reinforce, well, live by your feelings. Well, whatever feels good, do it. What happens is you start believing something, you start seeing something that's different than what God has for you. That's not God's best. You know, a lot of times people think, well, you know, those Christians, they just want to tell me how to live and blah, 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 blah. It's because God knows best. God knows best, right? So then go over there to, you're there in John chapter 20 and verse 29. John chapter 20 and verse 29. What does Jesus say to Thomas? Remember, Thomas had a seeing problem. He was your typical, if I can see it, then I can believe it, right? If I can see it, I can believe it. I mean, that was Thomas. But in verse 29, John 20, 29, what does he say? "Because you've seen me, you've believed, but blessed are those who have not seen and yet believed." In other words, those who have not seen by regular sight, those who have not seen by natural sight, but saw something that no one else did. They saw something that no one else did. He says, blessed are they. Blessed are they. So faith. We talked about this as well. Romans chapter 10. Romans chapter 10. You know we go there a lot at the end of every service. I do that because in case, and not just in case, but when those that come into our midst, because we're believing for full chairs, right? Amen. New faces, new families, new facility. We're believing for those things. We're calling our church full of the glory of God, right? And when we are calling those things that be not as though they are, and in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, we understand how faith comes. Faith comes because in Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "So then faith comes by hearing." What are we hearing? We're hearing words. We're hearing the word of God, right? It comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Hearing by the word of God. So we're hearing and we're hearing. It's a continual process of hearing and hearing and hearing. Romans chapter 12 and verse 1 and 2 says to be transformed by what? The renewing of our mind, because remember, garbage in, garbage out. So if we're putting God's word on the inside, then what's going to come out is faith that can believe. Faith that can see when nobody else sees. Faith that can see when nobody else can see what you're seeing. Nobody else can see that. But faith sees. Faith sees with spiritual eyes. Spiritual eyes. So the word there says that in John 20, 29, when it talks about, it says, blessed are they who have not seen and yet believed. I love what that really means there. It actually says supremely blessed. By extension, fortunate, well off. Well off. When you believe what you haven't seen, and you see it down here, you are well off. Say, turn to your neighbor and say, I'm well off. Amen. Amen. So, we talked to you about that process of belief in Romans 10, 9, and 10, that you believe in your heart, you confess with your mouth, and that we need to say what we believe. That's why in the early church, they came up with, what did they called them confessions. I'm not talking about confessing sin. They talked about confessions. We believe. We believe, right? And they would go down a list of all of the things that we as Christians hold dear and know to be true, right? We believe in the Word of God. We believe in the virgin birth. We believe in the Trinity. We believe in small c, Holy Catholic Church. Small c is just universal, universal church in all of its different forms, as long as Jesus is Lord. Do you understand? So those are not negotiable. And when we continue on, remember, when we believe first, then we say what we believe, and then this is what I want to get us to. We act on what we believe. We saw that with the woman with the issue of blood. She acted on what she believed. She put her reputation on the line. We saw with the synagogue ruler, he put his reputation on the line. You see, when God calls you to act in such a way that you stand and you decide, I'm getting out of the boat. The water may be rough. I'm getting out of the boat. And I'm going to stand on God's word. I'm going to stand on what he says, because God's word is a sure foundation for our lives. And when we get off of God's word, we start listening to everything else in the world. We will start listening to anything. Anything. And it's because we're longing for something. I don't understand when people have tasted the goodness of God and then they still long for something else. You see, I believe that God wants us, he wants us to demonstrate to the world that he is good. That he is good, that he's loving. We need to demonstrate that to the world. We need to demonstrate that to the world, right? So, all right, let's get back to hearing. Pastor, if I want to increase my faith, I need to hear the word of God continually, Romans 10, 17. So, if I'm going to see the right things, then I need to put the right things in. I got to keep putting the right things in. You see, if you want the right things to come out, keep putting the right things in. You got to put the right things in. If I just eat junk food, I'm not going to get a good result. I like some junk food. I do. Full confession here, right? There are certain things. Dessert is my favorite meal, right? But at the same time, I know that's not good for me. So I'm not going to keep just putting that in my body. I sometimes have to eat the things that maybe not quite as good as a piece of cake. Especially my wife's chocolate cake. And if you've never had a piece of my wife's chocolate cake, it's really good. There's an anointing on the cake. That's what some of the ladies say. So we've got to put the right things in. The right things in. And I thought it was interesting, because if we're going to be hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing, I thought about that, and I thought, wait a second. Jesus said over, turn with me to Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, verse 23 and 24. Mark chapter 4. This is important. This is so important for us, because we're talking about the process of developing strong faith. If you haven't figured it out, we're a faith church, and if you haven't figured it out, we're going to talk about faith, because faith is so vital in every area of our life. It's vital for your Christian walk. It's vital to keep putting the right things in. In Mark chapter 4 and verse 23, Jesus said something that was really interesting. He said, if anyone has ears to hear, now that's an odd saying, let him hear. Then he said to them, take heed what you hear. With the same measure you use it, it will be measured to you, and to you who hear, more will be given. So not only does Jesus say, be careful what you hear, be careful how you hear. How you hear. We see that in two different times when he's telling us to be careful what you hear. Be careful. Didn't they have a little song? I don't know where I learned it. I just sometimes these little fragments of songs, my family loves to tease me. I have fragments of songs stored in my brain. Not the full song. Fragments. But I just remember there was one song, I don't know if I learned it in Bible school, vacation Bible school. Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Do you remember that one? Be careful, little eyes, what you see. Be careful, little ears.
I know it because
it is
the Father.
Oh, yeah. You know it. Say it. The whole thing. Because the Father up above is looking down in tender love. So be careful what you see. Be careful, little ears, what you hear. Right? Why should we be careful about what we're hearing? Because there are voices that will feed and foment doubts in your heart. They're the same exact toolbox the enemy has used from the beginning. It's the same exact toolbox. What did he do with Adam and Eve? Did God say? Did God say? Or, wait a second. Deception and half-truths are the same way that he talks believers out of being a strong person in faith, sometimes even talking them out of their salvation. Why? Because if we continue to listen to that voice, that's why I think Jesus, whenever he encountered a demon, what did he tell the demon? Get out. Shut up and get out. What did he tell Satan when Satan came to him and he was tempted? For it is written, man shall not live by bread alone. What was the enemy doing to Jesus in the temptation? He was using half-truths. He was using deception. He was saying, oh, you're hungry. Well, you could turn these stones into bread. The enemy always comes to discredit God's word. Always. He comes to discredit what you're hearing that's going to give you strong faith. So why? Because it is his tactic. He can keep Christians weak by keeping the word away from them. He can keep them believing whatever they hear, whatever they feel, whatever is going on, what feels good, do it, all of that. And what they start believing that more than they start believing who I am in Christ. The old has passed away. Behold, all has become new. And the enemy will come to you and he'll come to me and remind you of your past. Oh, God can't listen to you. Do you know how many times you've messed up? How many of you have ever heard that one? Oh, you just lost your cool. Do you think anybody's going to listen to you? Oh, and what about this one? And it always has the same tone. And I've heard people actually speak it. They didn't come up with it themselves. They heard some demon whisper it to them. And you call yourself a Christian. You know what I'm talking about. The enemy's always going to come and discredit the word. discredit the word. Did God say that? Surely he didn't mean that. Because he didn't mean that. He didn't mean that. No, no, no. And so what we have is we have an attack from the enemy. Not an attack from a political, social standpoint. Listen, the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. We are not in a battle that has to do with who can argue with somebody the best. Who can be snarky. I'm tired of seeing Christians snarky stuff on Facebook. I am. I don't think it helps. It doesn't help at all. Because I believe that God is calling us to a different level of living. It's a different level of loving. But it's a different level of faith too. Because it says, like Daniel, and I know I'm a little bit all over the map here. I'm trying to get you to understand something about faith. The nature of faith has to do with what are you hearing? How are you hearing? Because when we hear with an open heart, saying, God, speak to me, change me, transform me by the renewing of my mind, Romans 12:1-2, so that I can prove what is a good and acceptable will of God. I can actually prove it by what? My life. I can prove that out by my life. Because if I've transformed is metamorpho in the Greek language. It's a transformation. It's where we get metamorphosis. It's how we talk about butterflies in science. That they go in, you know, the little caterpillar goes and makes the little chrysalis thing, right? The cocoon, I don't know, there's always a difference between a butterfly and a moth, but, you know, goes into the little cave thing and comes out a butterfly. That's transformation. That's what God wants you to do with you with the Word. You know, the Word will transform you from an ugly little worm-looking thing to a beautiful butterfly. Well, how does he do that? The Word. Metamorpho. The Word. Metamorpho. Go there, because you're close. In Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, brethren, you therefore present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed, pressured, squeezed, that's what that word means, to the world, but be transformed, metamorpho, by the what? The renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Wow. That's a powerful verse. And the word there, I beseech, is I beg you. Why? The Apostle Paul understood this because he knew what it was like to live just according to his intellect, just according to what was expected of him. But he met Jesus on the road to Damascus. He was transformed. I think it's interesting that he was blinded temporarily, naturally speaking. Probably to shut down his intellect a little bit. Because he had to be able to see with spiritual eyes. Touch your eyes again. Say, Lord, help me see. Help me see what you want me to see. Oh God, if we could see what he wants us to see for our family, for our life, for every area of our life, our health. Our health, that we would see ourselves whole, nothing missing, nothing broken, the peace of God changing our lives, changing our relationships, changing us, changing our financial picture. You might feel very alone. Maybe you live alone. You might feel that way, but start seeing yourself. Okay, I'm seeing myself whole. I'm seeing myself whole. Okay, my health is whole. My finances are whole. If God can get you to see something, he can get you on the road to believing it. when you are on the road to believing it, you can speak it with faith. And that faith will actually transform the circumstance. Now go over to Mark chapter 11. I'm getting somewhere with this today. I'm moving you along. Mark chapter 11. This is what I'm really... This whole idea of seeing is believing is really kind of just taking the wraps off of faith and trying to kind of pull back the curtain a bit so that we see how faith works. That's why I kind of hit on several different points, but I'm still on this subject that seeing is believing. Why is it so important? So Mark chapter 11, famous faith passage. Brother Kenneth Hagin made this passage, I think, more famous than it already was, because that's how he got up off the deathbed, is he actually believed this. Notice what it says in verse 20. Now in the morning as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots. And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed is withered away. So Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. The Greek structure there is have the faith of God. That's a tall order. God speaks and it is. He says, have the faith of God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, listen, this is the key right here. And does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things he says. This is not empty parroting, folks. You can't just, you know, parrot, I'm a cheeseburger, I'm a cheeseburger, I'm a cheeseburger, and expect to be a cheeseburger. Because you don't believe that. How do you get beliefs down in your heart? The Word of God. You get the Word working down on the inside. You get the Word working down on the inside. It says, he believes those things he says will be done, and he will have whatever he says. He'll have whatever he says. Isn't that congruent with Mark chapter 9 and verse 23? All things are possible to him who believes. If God can get you to see it, he can get you to believe it. If he can get you to believe it, you'll say it. And if he can get you to say it, then you'll act on it. You'll start acting like a Christian. Hello? Isn't that how it worked for all of us? Like I told you last week, I grew up knowing the gospel, knowing how to get saved, but something just clicked on the inside. Now it went down into my heart because faith is of the heart. It's not of the head. Say that out loud. Say faith is of the heart, not of the head. You see, sometimes we can have faith in our heart and doubt in our head. How many have been there? I have many, many times. Many times. We've got to feed the faith that's deep down on the inside of us. We feed it with the Word of God. And what happens there is then we're not just empty parroting. We're not just saying, well, I believe I'm healed. I believe I'm healed. When you don't. Hello? I'm not condemning you. I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to get something in you. And it's not a quick fix. It's not a quick fix. I've said this many, many times. You got to get the right things down on the inside. Get the Word working on the inside. That's why when somebody first comes to Christ, I am not big on immediately telling them all the things they got to quit doing. I would much rather God work it out with them. Show them, hey, wait, that's not behavior that a Christian should be a part of. Yeah, that's, no. I'd rather do that. Now, as a pastor, sometimes you do have to say things. You do. So it's not like I don't say anything ever. It's just I like God to do his transforming thing. I like to get him to work on that situation. Because I've done it Doug's way. I've tried to. I remember as a youth pastor, I was really big into getting the kids to not listen to cruddy music. So, but I was a little bit harsh and a little bit mean about it. No Christian in here has ever been harsh or mean, right? That's all right. You guys are laughing because you know it's true, right? We mean well. We mean well, right? But I remember I would go into my, people's, house or room, they'd be like, oh, pastor, this is my room, whatever. And I'd see like a secular band that didn't espouse things of God. And I'd be like, that's garbage, And I would just kind of be real condemning, and it just didn't help anybody. It didn't help anybody. And so I'm thankful that I did stop listening to cruddy music. Because that was a personal thing that God had led me to do. But and it helped me. As a teenager, it helped me. It helped me tremendously. Because I made a commitment. Hunky music is what? Garbage in? What's going to come out?
Garbage.
Not good things, right? Now, of course, it's not music we got to be concerned about. It's TikTok and it's everything else, right? There's so many avenues that the enemy wants to come and he wants to distract, keep us away from the Word of God, keep us away from the things of God. We need to do things that are going to help us to see what we need to see. Because if we see what we need to see, we can believe it. And the more we believe it, we can speak it, and now it has power. Now when you're by his stripes, I am healed, and you say it, now it has a whole lot more authority, has a whole lot more power than when you're still reeling in a health crisis and saying it kind of feebly, by his stripes I am healed. No. It's now you get it down on the inside. You get it down on the inside. You keep saying it because it's down here. It's down here. And so this last week, I told you I was going to be doing this, I believe so. I know I might have said it on Facebook Live, I might have said it here, that I went for another eye exam, another field of vision test. Now, one of the things that I've noticed in the last 10 years is that my vision keeps getting better.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
Now, I don't say it as much as I used to say it. And actually, I need to step up what I'm saying because I do believe it. And that is that I see everything.
Amen.
I'm not lacking anything when it comes to sight.
Yes.
And so I went to a different doctor than I had been. I had to change my doctors because my doctor from years ago had actually retired and moved away and whatnot. And so I have a different doctor. And so I said, can I have a field of vision test, please? They said, well, why would you want one? And I said, well, because in 2013, I had a brain bleed that took away 50% of my sight on both eyes. And so I'd kind of like to see where I'm at. I said, because it's been a while. I said, I took one, I think, back in 2016, and it showed an improvement, but it still showed a loss, and I want to see where I'm at. Because there have been couple occasions that I've testified here where I have felt my vision open up and I saw more. So I wanted to see and I wanted to prove that out. Because I'm not afraid of proving something out. So I went in, took the test. This was just last week. And lo and behold, I'm seeing more.
Amen. Hallelujah.
I see more. Now, she said to me, there's still some loss there. She goes, but you are considerably, she called me. She said, you're considerably better than what you started out with, for sure. She said, whatever you're doing, keep it up. What am I doing? Believing. I'm believing. I see everything. I see everything. In fact, what was surprising is that one eye, they were both about the same. And you can see it. And I actually have the chart here. I brought it with me. I have the original. Shows dark, both eyes, half the eye. The next time it shows kind of gray and little spots of dark. That was 2016. The one that I just took shows mostly gray, one little black spot here. Why? Because I believe. All things are possible to him who believes.
Thank you, Lord.
Next week we'll show you on the screen. But God is doing amazing things if we'll just apply faith to it.
That's right.
If he can get you to see it,
yes,
you're on the road to believing it. And how do we see it? By the word? Because that's how we're going to see. Because we don't walk by natural sight. We walk by faith. We walk by faith. Now I'm going to close with this verse. Go with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews, this is a whole, you know, this subject of faith, we're not going to be exhausting it, of course, but I really wanted you to see, no pun intended, to see as we were going through here. I want you to see what God is wanting us to see, because I believe he's getting us ready for our Sync the Vision weekend. Our Sync the Vision weekend that's coming up in November. Whatever you have to do to be at that, we want you to be there. It's going to change our church, and it's going to change your family. It's going to change your life. It's receiving vision for your life, for your family, and for the church. It's a day retreat. So just try to get there. Make plans now. Amen? All right. So faith. Let's go ahead and look in chapter 11 and verse 1. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. I love this. The evidence of things not seen. You can add naturally, and I'm not trying to add to the scripture, but that's the understanding there. That faith is the substance of things hoped for. The evidence, that means concrete proof, evidence of things not seen. For by the elders obtained a good testimony. And then he goes on to talk about faith. He gives us the hall of faith. And then skip over to verse 6. It says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Faith works in the heart. It works in the heart. And it is when if he can get you to see a thing,
yes,
then you're on the road to believing it.
Amen.
And then if he can get you to take that from just seeing it and speaking it and speaking it and speaking it. I see everything. Oh, Dad, you dropped something. I see it. I see everything. What am I doing? Reinforcing what I'm seeing. When you speak, you are reinforcing what you're seeing. Because you're speaking that word. That word that God burned down on the inside of you so that you can believe it, you can see it. You speak it, then you can act on it. You can act on it, and I believe that God will be honored. It will please God. How many in here want to please God?
Amen.
All right, seeing is believing. Say it out loud. Say, seeing is believing. I'm not talking about physical sight. I am talking about spiritual. I see with spiritual eyes the things that God wants me to see. Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you, Father God, that it has the power to change us. Help us to see things you want us to see. Show us in your word, Father God, things that we're burdened by that we need to just operate in faith and begin to speak those things and to see those things in a different light, that you would be glorified, God, that you would be pleased. And so, Father, I pray right now for this congregation, for those that might be watching online, Father, that they would be ministered to, that their faith would be built up. They would be encouraged to see to see spiritually the things you want them to see, to speak those things you want them to speak, and to believe it by acting on it. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for our time together today. In Jesus' name, with every head bowed and every eye still closed, if you're here today and you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, or perhaps you're watching online and you don't know him and you want to know him, it's real easy. You believe in your heart. That's where faith starts. That Jesus is the Son of God, that he came to die for your sins. It was personal. That he was risen from the dead, and that you believe that in your heart, and now you confess that with your mouth. You speak it, you act on it, and then you confess him as your Lord, letting him be the one who helps call the shots in your life. That's what lordship is. So if that's you, I want you to raise your hand. If you want to pray with us right now, we're all going to pray this simple prayer together. If you've been away from God, make this an act of rededication as we pray this out loud. Say, Father God,
I come to you
in the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
I believe in my heart
that Jesus
is the Son of God.
That he died for my sins.
That he was risen from the dead.
I receive his forgiveness
by faith.
And I speak
with my mouth
that Jesus
is my Lord
and my Savior.
In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time or it was an act of rededication, we want to know. Please message us on Facebook. Let us know. We'd like to send you some information. If you don't live near our church, we'll help you find a good church that will help you in your walk with God and getting back on track if you've been away from God. And I believe that God wants to do that in your life. He's a good God.
Amen.
He's waiting for you to come home.
Yes, he is.
If you've been wandering, he's been waiting for you. Let's stand to our feet as we have our sending out verse right now. Praise God. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Psalm 121:7-8. God bless you. We'll see you next time.